So I made a post Saturday evening just as everything had kind of gotten to a height on my end, and it went a little like this. So to my Black men, my brothers, fathers, uncles, cousins, and sons, I speak to you. You are loved. Though the society may see your skin as a threat, we, your women, know it is not. Your melanin, regardless of shade, is beautiful. We also know you are more than it. You are strong, smart, compassionate, and enduring. Though you are currently fighting a battle that most do not understand, trust that we are there. We will always be there. When you feel you are too weak to continue the fight, know we are ready to continue in your place. Your cries and your voices will never be silenced. For as long as we draw breath, your voice will be heard. You are loved now and forever, and we will continue to stand with you and for you. As long as there is a fight, you will have an army.
Thank you for that powerful message, Laura Bell. And as you watch the demonstrations across the states, what are you feeling?
There's a mix of feelings, to be honest. I understand where they are coming from. I don't always agree with the extent that it is getting to, but I understand the pain. So these demonstrations, people are seeing them from two points where you're seeing them as you're seeing the fires, you're seeing the looting, and you're trying to understand why this is the point. But it's gotten to a point where people have felt they've been peaceful protests and no one was hurt. We have knelt, we have sat silently, we've had sit-ins, and they felt they haven't had a voice. So with the killing of George Floyd, it just got to a point where people felt their voice wasn't heard and it was time to take action. And unfortunately, at some point, violence has occurred, but that should not be lost. The point of the protest is for them to be seen and for their voices to be heard.
And as the mother of a young boy, what are your concerns for him when it comes to equality?
This has honestly been the hardest part to deal with when looking at all of this, because as a Black woman, I've faced racism myself. I've faced injustices and prejudice, whether it's overtly or through microaggression. But when you're dealing with it for yourself, you know how to handle it. You know the rules. You know the action. I now have a biracial son who at some point I'm going to have to sit down and I'm going to have a conversation with him that I do not want to have, but he needs to hear. I'm going to have to sit down and tell him at some point that it doesn't matter if you're hanging out with your friends who are white or Black. If you're with your white friends and you all do the same thing, whether it is, if it's wrong, understand that you're going to face harsher judgment. Understand that your safety, I have to go through with you if you're in a car, depending on where you are. Make sure you know where your license is, your registration is. Do not rustle for anything. I know police are supposed to be your safe place, but understand that your safety right now matters most to me. So if you say comply, comply whether it is right or wrong, you comply for your safety. So make sure you're coming home to me at the end of the night. And that's not a conversation any parent wants to have with their child. But now that's one I need to start prepping myself for. And it's going to have to happen at an earlier age than I will want it to happen.
And Laura Bell, that kind of brings me right to my next question, because as you mentioned, you have experienced racism throughout your life. And, you know, have you had a chance to read the recent Rex Murphy's article in the National Post about how Canada doesn't have a racism problem? And I just want to get, what do you say to that?
I didn't read it purposely just because I found it was ridiculous from just the entire sentiment around it. Canada does have a racism problem. Is it as overt as the one going on with our neighbors to the south? No. Canada has the tendency to use politically correctness in order to shield itself. So the best example to reference of what racism would be like in Canada is you are not going to have anyone really screaming the N-word, are you? But you're going to have the African-American did this or the Black person did this in a tone that is negative. So we tend to do things under the guise of being politically correct or being polite, but there are still very deeply ingrained roots of microaggression and prejudice in them.
And Laura Bell, myself as, you know, a white privileged person in this society, I find myself asking myself all the time is, you know, kind of trying to find your way around this and trying to find the best way to stand up and support. But because at the end of the day, I will never understand what you have gone through in your life. Never. And it's just, I'm trying to find the right way to frame this question, but just wondering what, you know, people in a position like myself, like Jerry Lynn here in the room, and what we can do to help and just feel like, to feel like you have our support with you and we stand with you, if that makes sense.
So the first thing I would say is education. you can't speak or fight if you do not understand the battle. And that is something that is very real. Most people who want to be allies do not know what our fight is. They do not know the long stem of the history behind the racism, the prejudice. They don't know what it is. They don't know why we're fighting and why we're so angry. Because a lot of people believe it all went away when slavery was abolished, or how Canada was where the slaves escaped to, so there was never any issue. But that is not true. So before you can fight with us or fight for us, you need to understand what we're fighting for and why we are still fighting. And so one big thing is, so Black History Month is in February. Newfoundland doesn't celebrate Black History Month. Black history isn't taught in our schools. It's not something Newfoundlanders grow up knowing about. So if you're not coming from a place where you're educated about the battle you're trying to fight for, you can't fight. And then you need to understand that it's not your time to go for us. You need to hear our voices. We can tell you what we need from you, and then you respond in the according manner. So ask, go to the Black people, the people of color in your community, and ask what they need from you. Because we've seen people try to organize a protest that was supposed to happen on Wednesday, but that wasn't led by us. It was led by people who wanted to do good, but don't understand what they're doing or how to go about it to ensure our safety in the end. So in total, just to make sure you're educated, and then you take, sit back and listen and be told how to demonstrate for us, how to fight for us, and how to use your voice in a positive manner.
And Laurabelle, I just want to end with, and this might be a little bit broad, but what do you hope comes out of the death of George Floyd and these demonstrations that have followed?
In a broad sense, equality and equity. That would be the best thing. It would be nice to have people understand George Floyd's death was needless and senseless, but he was not the first. And sadly, I can't say he will be the last. It's unfortunate to sit here and say that there will be another Black man killed in maybe weeks, days, months. I don't know, but I know there will be another. And it's important that people understand that this is a continued fight. And if we just think this was a one-off, it wasn't a one-off. This was just the straw that happened to break the camel's back, because it was recorded. But there are many more that aren't recorded that people don't see. So it's important that the fight continues to go, but that we're fighting for equity and equality.